Well, today I want to talk about something that if you'll participate in it, you're going to change. Just go ahead and look at your neighbor and say, you know what, this will change us. Come on, this will change us. I got to get this, you know, the weather's changed. How many of y'all glad you woke up this morning? There was some sun going on. Isn't that great? You know what? And if everybody listens quick today, we'll be out on time. It's up to y'all listening quick today, all right? I want to pray because we're going to talk about prayer today. We're going to talk about, how many of y'all are glad to know that Jesus Christ prayed? And if the Son of God prayed, it's important that we learn how to pray. And it's also that you learn that prayer absolutely makes a difference. It really does make a difference. And I want you all to know that, you know what, there are a lot of good things going on in the world today. I want you all to hear that. And I'm not giving you sunshine that's not there. I'm giving you reality from heaven that is there. How many of y'all are glad to know that your sins are forgiven? I mean, I'm going to give you some facts. Your sins are forgiven, and God said He's never going to let go of you. And guess what? You're going to make it no matter what anybody else says. And every time I watch Fox and NBC and ABC, and man, I tell you what, you'll go to hell if you believe all the stuff they say. I mean, it's just every day, how bad can it get? Well, you know what God said? He told us to not worry. He said, you know what? He said, I take care of the flowers in the field. I take care of the sparrows in the air. I take care of it. And I think we got to engage. And I think some things we got to learn to do is really be in prayer. So here's the way your pastor is going to view this time. I tell you, there's going to be some difficult days. How many of y'all got married? There's some difficult days. How many of y'all had children? There's some difficult days. How many of y'all have children who've entered into adolescence? There's some more difficult days. How many of y'all have had children that moved out? You thought, man, you were done and it just began, all right? It didn't go, huh? And then how many of y'all had children and they came back for the second round? You see what I'm saying? There's always a difficult time. But here's what I want you to know. In every time, God's faithfulness is the same. And so this is our time to be a great witness in the midst of some difficult times. You and I are people of Jesus, and that ought to reflect in any time. And one of the ways we stay connected to that, we got to learn to pray. How many of y'all don't pray enough? I don't pray enough. Sometimes I lean on the wisdom of man. How many of y'all lean on what you think more than what God said? Anybody got that problem? A lot? Me too. I mean, I wish I could tell y'all that every day I just submitted to the glory of God. Honestly, sometimes I submit to the glory of God. Now, here's what I can tell you. Every time I do, it works out better than the way I was going to go. How many of y'all found that to be true? So we're going to stir this thing up. Pray with me. Lord, help us understand prayer. Help us be empowered by prayer. Help us to see Jesus' prayer. Help us to pray, God, and realize that You're a God of faithfulness. You're a God of grace. You're a God that will guide us in these days, in these times. You do not leave us. In the name of Jesus, the church said what? Amen. And then they did something with it. They did something with it. Well, I want you to know the world needs you to live out your faith in Jesus Christ. I'm not asking you to put bumper stickers on. I'm not asking you to do interviews. I'm not asking you to shout and holler. I'm asking you to be genuinely the real thing in the midst of the world. That's what we really need. Christians that are doing everyday things. Christians that are out there building buildings and working in law firms and teaching school and just living out the things of God. And we got to learn to pray. In fact, of the big five in our church, I mean, we got five things we want you to experience every week. You're doing one of them right now. Worship. How many of y'all found you need a little worship in your life? You know why? That stirs you during the week. How many of y'all remember one of the worship songs somewhere during the week? I do. I'll get one of the songs in my head. I can't sing a lick, but I'll be singing them. And most of the time I'm driving by myself and God says, Lord, have mercy on him. He's making a joyful noise. But I remember one of the songs. Makes sense? I remember a song that God sang. Number two, you need to go to Bible study somewhere during the week. Now watch this. We're cool here at Hillview. You don't have to go on Sunday. Sheriff, you could stop by for a lunch day Bible study here at Hillview. What do you think about that? You get food and truth all in the same 45 minutes, all right? So guess what? You need, somewhere down the line, you need to catch a Bible study during the week. Third thing you need to do, I think you need to have relationships with some positive believers. Now, I clarify that. You can skip the relationship with negative believers. And the reason I tell you that, they're not going to enhance your life. They're going to tell you everything that's going wrong. Now, you still got to love them in the name of Jesus, but you can choose who you want to hang out with. You say, is that biblical? Man, that's Jesus. He spent more time with Peter, James, and John than he did the rest of the 12. He wanted to pour himself directly in. Get with some people that you can live life with. I'm fortunate my wife is a positive person. So she wakes up like a cheerleader every morning. Now, I don't wake up like that, but she wakes up like that. Rah, let's get on with the day. I say, yeah, sit down. It's Monday. But guess what? God wants to bless us if we'll let Him. Amen? And the fourth thing we believe in this church, we believe everybody's got a gift, a talent, ability, some kind of spiritual enhancement. And guess what? You ought to live that out in a real genuine way in the everyday world. And then the fifth thing, we got to pray. We got to pray. I want you to grab three things about prayer. Three things about prayer. First one is this. Prayer focuses you on God. And we tend to forget God. How many of y'all just forget God? Oops, there's a God involved in this equation. How many of y'all forget God sometimes? University students, this coming week, what are you going to have? Finals. How many of y'all are not stressed? You shouldn't be. Thanks, bro, for not being stressed. But you've been at it a while, hadn't you? You figured out that that little syllabi they give you in August is going to come through in December, and then the one they give you in January is going to happen in May. So if you just do all that stuff before you get to May, it's no problem. This ought to be a fun week. You don't have to go to class. Go take a test and be done. But guess what? You know who I find wigged out on campus when I was in school more than anybody else? Christians. Ooh! I mean, the worst you can do is fail a class. Now, your mom and dad are going to be upset, but hey, but God's going to stay with you. How many of y'all are glad to know that God's going to stay with you? And watch this. There'll be a lot of prayer this week. God will hear a lot of prayers, especially on university campuses. Dear God, I need help with this test. And God's going to answer back. Should have asked me in February when you were at that party. See what I'm saying? Yeah, God, you got to connect. Focus. Prayer helps us focus. Focuses on that God's a part of the equation of life. How many of y'all just need that focus every once in a while? Second thing prayer does is this. It empowers. It empowers. How many of y'all realize that impossible things can become possible to believers? How many of y'all weren't supposed to be in church today? I mean, how many people looked at your lives at one moment in your life and said, man, they'll never be a Christ, and here you are, and you're serving God fervently, and y'all may not believe this, but Ken, it was not in my senior album, yearbook thing you get from high school, nobody had indicated in there most likely to preach. God makes what? Things that don't look like they're going to happen, happen. And prayer stimulates that and empowers us to that. How many of y'all are glad to know that? Listen, parents, I got a lot of parents in this particular worship service. Guess what? Pray for your children. How many of y'all have already written them off? I love watching you moms because I don't have to go through this anymore. But I saw like a crew of moms, and moms kind of huddle up together in one troop. And they had these like 3-year-old boys. Well, two of them had already jumped the banister. They were fishing in the creek out here in the atrium. And those moms were just looking exasperated like, what jail will these kids be in one day? Well, you know what? That'll be the president of the corporation. That'll be the principal. We can't imagine what these kids are going to do. How many of y'all are excited to have a church full of kids? I love kids in church. Here's why. Man, amen. And watch. Here's what I get excited about. We don't have any idea what any of them are going to do. And as we grow older, we'll be amazed. We'll be amazed. One day, Red may walk in holding your x-rays. Hello, I'm Dr. Red. I'm going to cut this right out of the side of your head. And I said, Red, is that you? He said, yeah. And you know what would scare me is Red's going to remember everything I've said to him on the football field when he puts that knife on my head. See, be nice to people. Amen. Prayer empowers us to allow things that look impossible to become possible. Now, I want you to hold on to that. We're people of Jesus Christ, and we got to start living out as people of Jesus Christ. Don't shortchange God. He can do anything. How many of y'all believe that? He can do anything. He can heal anything, bring anybody around. Everybody's got a shot. Number three, prayer does this. It engages you into the reality of your faith. It engages you. You will become active when you get in prayer. So now you got those three things? It focuses you, it empowers you, and it does what? Go on. It engages you. How many of y'all glad to know we got a God that wants you to live? Now check this out. Jesus is praying. You know, we get a few glimpses of Jesus actually offering a prayer in the text, and this is one of them. John chapter 17. And he goes on in several chapters praying. He's just finished praying for his disciples. And now he turns to us. And Jesus prays in chapter 17, verse 20. My prayer is for not for them alone. My prayer is not for them alone. I love this. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. How many of y'all glad to know that as Jesus began to look at grace, he thought about you? See, he said, I also pray for those who will believe in their message. Who's that? That's believers of the 21st century. That's believers of the 23rd century. That's believers to the end of time. He said, I pray for them. How many of y'all glad that Jesus prayed for you? Now think about this. If Jesus prayed for you, don't you think you ought to pray to him? If Jesus prayed to you, how many of y'all have ever had this question? Why in the world do we need to pray? God's going to do what he wants to do anyway. Any of y'all ever had that question? Boy, I did. I used to sit there on the patio of the Mallgate Apartments in Louisville, Kentucky, as I was a theological student at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. And I was there with my colleague, Dr. Marcus Kevin McElroy. And we'd gone to high school together and university together. And now we were in seminary together. And we would always ask that question. Finally, we came to this conclusion. God doesn't need me to pray to change his mind. I need to pray and deal with God so I'll understand who he is. In the first glimpse I see is God is a God that loves all people through all situations. How many of y'all understand? If you pray, man, you're going to start loving people. Now, I want you to get this, and I'm going to take on some things because we're going to have to really be careful. I don't know, but I heard some people that stood in the name of religion this week that were very divisive. Did y'all hear that on the news? By the way, I hope that you all understand the Reverend Dr. Jeremiah Wright is not preaching gospel. Y'all understand that? He's not preaching the gospel. Now, I don't usually say things about things that go on the news until somebody stands up in the name of Jesus and says something that's not true. Then it is my obligation to tell you what the truth is. And I'll take Brother Wright on because he doesn't scare me. He was a running back. I was a linebacker. I kind of like them. Okay? And here's what I want to tell you. When you start dealing with God, you got to understand God loves all people. God never segregates. I ought to hear you believe in that. God never segregates. Now, here's what I love about our church. I'm preaching to the choir a little bit in here. I'm glad we got all colors, all kinds of ideas, all kinds of identities, and all kinds of journeys. That's cool. But you got to understand, God loves all people. Now, I got to help us as an Americans, okay? God does not have a special place in his heart for people in the USA. God loves all people. Now, would you agree with me that we get better when we get real? We're a tad bit arrogant. Would you agree with me? If you look from a global situation, there's about 6.5 billion human beings crawling the globe at this present moment. We make up 310 million of them. Do you reckon God has a concern for the other few billion outside of that? I think he does. In fact, I know he does. And let me help you with some things, okay? The Reverend Wright was very confused. He said on national TV from coast to coast and really around the globe that Jesus was born as a black man. I just don't want any of you to be confused. Jesus was a Jew. Jesus was not an African American, nor was he a white boy born in Fountain Run, Kentucky. Okay? He's a Jew. And you cannot twist the Bible to make it work for you. You got to let the Bible work in you so the glory of God might be revealed. Make sense? So when you get in the Bible, there isn't a black-white issue. There's a Jew-Gentile issue. And guess what? You got the Jews. They all look alike. You got the Gentiles. They look like Baskin Robbins. Because that's everything that's not Jewish. That's all of us. Now, how many of y'all glad to know that in Jesus, we get grafted in? Now, here's what I want you to know, though, the attitude. God loves all people. You say, even people that are different than me? What do you need to say? Yeah. You're not the only one created, nor will you be the only one created. And it's time that we as Christians pray for this reason. It brings us together. My prayer is not for them alone. First point I want to make, pray for somebody else this week. How many of y'all are always praying for yourself? Selfish, selfish, selfish. How many of y'all most of the time pray when you get in trouble? Emergency prayer. Oh, God! Now I really need you because I really messed up. This is just a tip. I wonder if we prayed more along the way if we'd mess up less along the way. Instead of, I call them emergency room prayers. As soon as we get information we don't want to hear, oh God! Well, what about in the morning? God, thank you for being in my life. God, thank you for being here. God, bless others today. We need to bless others. Amen? Look at here. It's about us being together. Look what he says. That all of them, verse 21, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you've sent me. I want you to know this. Prayer unifies. Just look at your neighbor and say, we're in it together. Oh, come on. Y'all got to do better than that. We're in it together. Come on. We're in life together. Watch this. Look at the person beside you and say, I don't even like you, but I'm with you. Nah, see, let's get true. I'm glad I'm not sitting by Elizabeth right now because she'd be telling the truth on that, all right? Watch this. I don't even like you, but we're in it together. Do you hear the wonderful passion of Jesus Christ, our Savior? He says, you know what? I am praying, God, oh, Father who art in heaven, that as I die on this cross, as you raise me to understand your glory, I pray that they will realize that they can be in you just like I am in you. And it could be together. And they'll be diverse, but they'll be one. Now, I want to tell you something. This is Jesus, man. This is all red letters today. What's God's heart prayer? That we would be one. You know why the church in America doesn't have a voice? Because we're divided. We're always divided. We're always on some issue that absolutely makes absolutely no difference, and we're divided. Now, we need different churches because you can't put them all in one place. But guess what? We all need to have one heart. Do you all see how that's important? I got to tell y'all a funny story. We had a church in our community. I won't give you the name of it. But they have signed a no-compete clause in the shopping center they're in to make sure that no other church rents that shopping center. Now, this is a church that's confused. I hope they'll go read John 17. I hope they'll realize that there is no competition in the church. Well, one of our local pastors, Jason Pettis, got a hold of this information. He's cool and can write and sophisticated. And Dr. Pettis, he types on one of these blogs. Well, he sends me, he said, Ayers, I know you don't read blogs, but you need to read this one. And he told a story that I had told him a few years ago. You remember when Living Hope got to 86 acres? They bought that 86 acres out there. Well, I had one of my fine community upstanding brothers look at me and he said, well, Ayers, what do you think about your competition buying 86 acres of land? And I said, I can't believe it. Tattletales needs that much land. Y'all know what Tattletales is, don't you? You better hit your husband if he knows what it is, all right? But anyway, Tattletales is a place where it's a strip joint in our city. That's my competition. My competition is the evil of this world, not my brothers and sisters of this world. And I told him, I told my brother that asked me that question. He goes, well, I'm not talking about Tattletales. I'm talking about Living Hope. I said, Living Hope's my brother and sister, man. That's 86 more acres the kingdom of God just got. That's good news.
See, is that not the heart of Jesus right here? I got to get crazy right here. Is that not the heart of Jesus Christ? I mean, we got to get this thing together. You know what saddens my heart? Harley Davidson people have more unity than the Church of Jesus. We ought to have that kind of Harley look among one another who follow Christ. I mean, you don't have to put tattoos on stuff. I'm talking about you got to have their attitude. You know what? No matter where I am on my Harley, I got a friend. If somebody else rides a Harley, they're my friend. They don't even know me. They just know what? Yeah. Now, gold wing people are like that. Sometimes gold wing people, they look at Harley people and go like, you got to like, get a bike. You know, they're up there with headphones on, broadcasting satellite TV as they go down the road, and they're riding a motorcycle. They're in a spaceship. You know, I like to hear it thunder when I ride. When I ride, you hear me coming. And I don't hear anything else. That's why I have those old loud pipes on there, Sheriff. It's not to disturb the neighborhood. It's for a few minutes where I don't hear another human being. Especially if my wife's riding with me. What'd you say? A truck's coming at us. Blah, 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 blah. Do you know what? No matter where I am in the United States, if I'm on that Harley, guess what? You look at somebody else. What's up? They go, what's up? They don't know me. I don't know them. If a stupid motorcycle can unify people, how much more the power of God? Hello? I really want us to work on not being divided, because you hear the prayer of God as we're in this thing together, man. We're in this thing together. I want you to know that churches don't compete against one another. We compete against this. Right now in Warren County, there are 69,000 people unchurched. Sheriff, that's why your job's hard. You got a lot of customers, don't you? Have you been on an increase or a decrease? Yeah, an increase. You know why you're on an increase? Because we in here are on a decrease. How many of y'all realize people that genuinely get saved find it hard to do drugs? How many of y'all found that when you genuinely meet Jesus Christ, you don't run around with somebody else's wife real easy? Because Jesus goes, nah, 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 nah. And you're going, but Lord, and he's going, I'm right here. Nah, nah, nah. But why? God leads us to blessing at all times. Y'all understand that attitude? And when you stay in prayer in that focus, that empowerment, and that engagement, God wants to guide your life to a blessing. How many of y'all glad to know today that you got a God that wants to bless you? I pray for them all, he says. Look at here. Unity is important, that we would be one. Look what he said. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. How many of y'all realize the glory of God's in you? Just look at your neighbor and say, I didn't know. Just tell them, I didn't know. I didn't know. Well, I knew, but I didn't know. The glory of God. How many of y'all let the glory of God leak out during the week? See, here's what we got to do. Listen, there are going to be some tough times in America right now. There are going to be some tough times. But here's what I'm asking y'all to do. Chill out. Look, God is in you. Listen, McCain ain't going to save you. He's close to heaven. Have y'all looked? Hillary ain't going to save you. Some of y'all going, well, Hillary saved me. She ain't going to save you. Barack Obama. He ain't going to save you. Watch this, I'm going to blow some of y'all away. Some of y'all will not believe this. The Republicans will not save you.
Amen.
Good God, if you don't know that by now, wake up. And the Democrats will not change you. And if you're waiting on the independents, Lord, they can't even make up their mind which party they're going to be in. Now, here's where I'm going with all that. Now, look, have I offended everybody equally? I'm showing you this. Watch this. I don't care if you're a Republican, if you're a Democrat, if you're independent. I do care that you go vote. But most of all, I care that after you vote, you live out the things of Christ. Somebody asked me the other day, Pastor Ayers, are you worried about who's going to be president? No! I'm not! You know why, Coach? You know why I'm not worried about it? Because I know who the king is. And see, when you know the king,
and you know the King of the universe, and you've had dinner with the King of the universe, and you've sat down and drank wine and eaten bread with the King of the universe, presidents are not that impressive when you know the King of the universe. Now, who's Jesus praying to? The King. So why y'all get so tripped out about a servant when your life is connected to a King? You know what's going to change? Not much. But you know what will change you? Jesus Christ. And you know what could change in America? I'm not worried about America changing. America's doing what it's supposed to do. For 100 years, it's digested human wisdom, and now it's getting human wisdom principles, and it's getting human wisdom consequences, and everybody's alarmed. I want the church to stand up and pray enough to get God's consequences out in the world. How many of y'all live in such a life that somebody wants what you got? Does that make sense? I mean, they look at you and go, how you do that? And then you can look at them, you look at them and you go, you really want to know? Because I ain't telling you unless you really want to know. How do you live the life you live? I live the life I live because Jesus Christ died on the cross and forgave me of my sins. Without Jesus forgiving me of my sins, I'm a train wreck. What about the rest of you? I'm not naturally good. Now, some of y'all are naturally good, but whoopity-doo. Most of y'all are just controllable. I was never the kid when the teacher said, be quiet, that got quiet. I thought, I wonder if she really means that or not. When she says be quiet, how many more words can you say before she blows her top? I had one of these minds. Now, some of y'all were wonderful students, and the teacher said be quiet, and you went. And she went, oh, Charlie, you're so lovely, and you're such a wonderful person. You go, what about me? Go to the office. You know how many times I heard that? Go to the office. Go to the office. Guess what was in the office? The principal. I had no idea that God was developing leadership skills in my life during this time. I stayed with the principal so much, I learned more about leadership than I did English. And he led me several times to redirect my philosophy. Because he loved me. Makes sense? But without Jesus Christ, I'm a train wreck. How many of y'all are a train wreck without Jesus Christ? Watch this. I don't love naturally without Jesus Christ. But with Jesus Christ, I can love everybody. Why? What does Jesus do? He loves everybody. What do you do? Love. Ah, come on, Lenny. Get honest with me. Get honest with me. You love who? People that like you. How many of y'all love people that don't like you? Well, you can, but sometimes I have to go. How many of y'all do it like this? The only reason I love you is because Jesus makes me. Oh, boy, that's real Christian. No, I really do love you. And they go, well, how can you love me? I disagree with you. I said, well, you know what? What is in me pulls me to love you because Jesus is into people. And that's why prayer helps us focus, it empowers us, and it releases God's glory. Look what it says. May they be brought to complete unity. I believe this, man. We need each other. So Hillview, I want us to be a unifying force. Amen? Over the past 18 years, we've worked at it, but we always hadn't been good. Is that true? We've got to be honest to get better. But I really want us to work at unity. Rick Barr is a good friend of mine, Broadway United Methodist Church. How many of y'all have told him he's doing a great job? He's opened up another church out there on Scottsville Road, and it's full. If you ever see Rick Barr, or if you're just walking, you know, in Walmart, and somebody goes, there's Rick Barr, just look at him and say, hey, our pastor told us about you. And he'll go, you go to Hillview, don't you? I said, man, I want to thank you for doing a great job in the kingdom of God. Isn't that great? I mean, there's some good things going on. And you know what? On Sunday morning, you know what? Y'all can listen to all that, how the world's going to falling apart and we're never going to be the same. You can listen to that all week long. But I'll tell you what, when you come here on Sunday morning, I'm going to open this book and tell you what God said. And God said he's praying for us. And he knew us long before we got here. And he said he's not going to let go of us. And great is his faithfulness. And if we live it out, guess what? We're going to come together as one. You're my brother and sister. We're going to get through this thing. Amen? I got to think another day. If it all went bad, man, I'm glad to be in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Aren't you? How many of y'all glad to be in Bowling Green, Kentucky? If it all went bad here at Hillview, no, hold on. If it all went bad here at Hillview, we're all right. We still got farmland. And you know what? We'll put a hoe in our hand, and for the first time, some of you in your life will actually work.
And we'll grow food together and we'll hang out together and we'll make sure everybody gets through together. Quit worrying about what you can't change. And pray and let God focus you and empower you and engage you to the life He's created in you.
Be one. Look what he says. Unity is important. Unity is important. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them. Have loved them even as you have loved me. That's what the world needs to see. Amen. I'm finished. Any of y'all got any questions? Any of y'all got any questions? Did y'all get anything today? You didn't waste your time coming today, did you? How many of y'all amazed that Jesus actually prayed for you? Did that kind of blow you away? How many of y'all have never read John 17 before? And Jesus puts his head down and says, God, I pray for those that aren't even here yet. That's how much God loved you. And that's how much God is loving you. And so today, you know what I want to do? I want to give anybody in this auditorium an opportunity to go to heaven. How many of y'all are pretty excited about that? And you're probably going to see somebody today go to heaven from Bowling Green, Kentucky. Ha! It's amazing! Some of you are going, Rev, is this stuff really true? Why don't you try it? I tell you what, I'll do this. If you don't like it, you can give it back in 60 days. I hadn't seen anybody. Raj, I've never seen anybody trade it in. I had an old buddy of mine. You can't save anybody. The Spirit's got to draw people to salvation. But he looked at me and he said, what do you think? I said, here's what I'd do. I'd be saved for 60 days. If I didn't like it, I'd just turn it back in. He goes, will that work? He said, no, but I said, you're hard-headed enough. Let's give it a try. And then he laughed. He goes, you're tricking me. You know I'll like it and never give it back. I said, gee. Here's what I want you to know. God loves you, man. And that's not just some trite little saying. God does love us. But let me tell you where we're hung up. I don't think we've allowed Him to love us like He will. And we got to pray on a daily basis, man. This is a time to pray. Dear God, help us be the church we're supposed to be. We got to empower people, man. We got to empower people. That's a reality. And God loves all people. He'll view, I'll never take it back. We're going to open our arms up, and it's every ethnic group in this place. God sent 22 nations into Bowling Green, Kentucky, and I hope every one of them comes to know Jesus Christ. Now, that's where your pastor stands, okay? Now, listen. And I know a lot of you are like me. You've grown up in the South, and you've been around prejudiced people, and you've been taught prejudiced things. You need to get those things out of you before you get to heaven, because they don't belong to heaven. Man created segregation, not God. God pleaded. Watch this. Look at John 17, man. God is getting ready to die, and He's dying for the unity of people. And that's all people. Make sense? All people. So we're going to go and go and go and go to all people till we take our last breath. Are y'all cool with that? Now, Hillview, I'm proud of you, man. We got people from all over the world here in this church, and I'm excited about that. So we're not just talking jazz. We're actually walking our walk. But guess what? I want you to invite your friends to church. I don't know if you all are keeping up with current events, but there's a few things that could switch certain ways and this world will be changed instantly. Are you all aware of that? So let me help you with gumdrop lollipops occasionally following out Jesus Christ. That's not going to work in that environment. Let me just help everybody. The party of easy, just everything come naturally flow and glow, that's about to come to an end. But hold on. That doesn't panic me. I think prayers are being answered. Somebody told me the other day, they said, what about this gas? I said, stay home, take care of your family. There's a radical idea. Maybe God's raising the gas prices up so we'll stay home and raise our kids. Maybe we run around all the time. Maybe we need to sit down and be still every once in a while. How many of y'all remember those days on Sunday afternoon after you got done with church, you gathered up at somebody's house, and you got out this old ancient contraption, and you put ice all around it, and you got out these big old chunky rock salts, and you poured it in you, and if you were a kid and you were real cool, you got to turn a crank on it for a while. And we all just sat around and made homemade ice cream, and I know that sounds corny, but you know what? It was a lot of fun. We met a lot of people, and we grew together as a community, and we've been missing that for a long time in America. That we'd be together and hang out. We can have it in the church, amen? But I'll get to preaching again. Any other questions? Y'all are lovely. Listen, somebody's going to get saved today, and I'm glad you're going to get saved today, because I just want to be really honest with you.
Man, we were excited about Mackenzie getting baptized because guess what? Today we saw her make a confession of faith and she declared, I'm not going to hell, compliments of Jesus. Hillview, I'm a very honest individual. I don't want anybody to go to hell. And here's what I personally believe. I don't believe God created you to go to hell. Now, I got some other theologians, they disagree with me. They're wrong, but they disagree. But guess what? I don't believe a merciful, creative God created people to be damned. I think He created them to be glorified. That's what it sounds like in John 17. Amen? He said, well, do you think people are going to hell? Absolutely. You know why? Because they refuse the love of God. They do it their way. And I'm telling you the truth right now. How many of y'all are listening? At least a little bit. If you do it your way, hell awaits you. And you can even be a nice guy. Here's where everybody's going to get tripped up. Well, Lord, I was a nice guy. And God's going to go, did you ever covet? How many of y'all coveted yesterday? It was lawnmower season. Some of y'all pulled out your 1969 30-inch snapper lawnmower. Yep. And your neighbor got him a Dixie chopper, zero radius turn, ultra mulch, teal, turf spray lawnmower. A lawnmower that's got a widescreen, high-definition TV on the back. So you can, how many of y'all watch that? As you were mowing your yard for 3 or 4 hours, they mowed theirs in 5 minutes with perfect excellence. How many of y'all went, how come I can't have one of those? Because you're very smart. And you're not making a $300 a month payment for the next 10 years on a lawnmower. Y'all are intelligent people. You're polluting the environment with your 1969 carbon-making, ozone-laying, killing snapper mower. But there are no mosquitoes in your neighborhood. Amen? You covered it a little bit. How many of y'all have ever bore false witness? Come on. There's one of the big 10. You know what false witness is? How many of y'all have ever said something about somebody else and you didn't know if it's true or not? I know some of y'all have because it was me you said it about and you didn't know it's true. We've sinned. Now here's what needs to happen. Today some of you know you've sinned and you've never asked Jesus in your life, and I want you to know He was praying for you before you got here. And Jesus would like to come into your life and forgive you of your sin. He said, Pastor Steve, you don't understand the things I've done. Here's what I want you to understand. It matters not what you've done. It matters who wants to connect to you. Now, here's the kind of church Hillview is. I take a lot of criticism for this. You know what, at Hillview? There's a lot of us that have sinned. In fact, at Hillview, everybody's sinned. And the only way we know to get healed is in Jesus Christ. Now, we got all kinds of sins out there. I don't specify. I just put them all together. Sin. And here's why I don't like sin. I've never found a blessing from it. How many of y'all have got a sin that's blessed you? I didn't say a sin you liked. I'm talking about a sin that's blessed you. I found all sin kills you. For instance, if you stay drunk all the time, what happens? Or you hit a telephone pole, it's not a good deal. You die. It's amazing. How many of y'all realize that a lot of our health care crisis is a sin crisis? What's killing everybody now in America? We'll say this one softly in Kentucky. What's killing everybody in America? Huh? Tobacco, yes. We have found in tobacco there's a warning label on the side of it. I love the way we put it on there too. This may cause... That gives you enough exit. Because I look at that and say, you know, and it may not either. Who knows? They have pretty good scientific evidence that if you smoke, your lungs don't work as well. How many of y'all have come that far along? Or if you dip tobacco, your lips can fall off. How many of y'all have come that far? That's what they say. They say it can happen. We all have things, man, and it isn't about those things. It's about Jesus Christ coming into our lives and what happens. We get better. So we hope that happened to you today. I hope you'll come and pray today and say, Lord Jesus, bless my life in a real way. Okay? Y'all ready to pray? Y'all ready to stand up? Y'all having a good day? Huh? What about it, balcony? Does this make sense? Mr. Wells, does this make sense today? Good deal. I like it when I see y'all, Ralph and Kathy. I see y'all up there. It's kind of like being in a vomit room. I see you and you. Well, let's stand together and let God just bless this moment. All right, listen carefully. Let the Holy Spirit have it. Let the Holy Spirit have this moment. There are going to be some people right now that give their life to Christ. Believers, guess what you need to be doing right now? Praying. I want everybody to get still. I want you to pray. Who is it today that needs to find Jesus Christ? That's going to be the ultimate change. You ready? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, today, you've shown us that before you died, you had a deep passion and concern for us. So Lord, right now, I'm talking to whoever's never asked Christ into their life. Right now, tell him. Lord Jesus, today I know I've sinned. Just tell him. And today, Jesus, I want to ask you into my life, and I want to ask you to take away my sin, to forgive me. And Lord Jesus, I want to ask you to come into my life. I believe you died on the cross, you've risen from the grave. And right now, in this moment, Lord, I ask you to come into my life. Now think about it. For those of you that are being saved right now, the prayer that we just studied in John 17 is being answered. Because he said his prayer was that the Father and you might be what? One. Here's the way you become one. You ask him to come into you. And he will. Jesus will not exclude anybody in this auditorium. He will not exclude anybody in this auditorium. The Father and I are what? One. And he wants to be in you. I don't care if you're a teenager. I don't care if you're a kid. I don't care if you're Ancient of Days. Jesus Christ wants to get to you. Now, some of you have already asked Christ to come into your life, and guess what? You need to be baptized. That's the first step to declaring, I am with God. That creates unity. If you've never been baptized, come to the unity of baptized believers. It's real. What I've told you today is true. You'll have to decide if it is. Jesus was born of a virgin in Bethlehem. A Jewish God-man who walked the earth, died for our sins, has rose from the grave, and nobody has stopped his message since then. So I declare to you today, in the name of Jesus, come and be saved. Come and pray. Come and let's come together. Now listen, believers, I need you at the altar today to pray that the church in Bowling Green may come together as what? One. We're on the same team. Let's pray that we get rid of all this competition and jealousy and all this stuff, and we work together to show 69,000 people that the life that's in us is worth living. Amen? It's worth living. So come on, guys. You can come pray for your finals, too. That prayer just works better if you study. Okay? So come now and let Jesus touch you. Amen? This altar's open for baptism, for receiving you. If you've never asked Christ into your life, come on right now. Come on, there are going to be some people coming right now being saved. We're going to jump up and down and rejoice over that. That's why we're here today. Some of you coming to be baptized today. Some of you coming and praying for your families today. Guess what? Do everything but stand and stare today. Maybe you want to praise your neighbor to seat, but come on. Release this altar in the name of Jesus. Come on. Come on, there's some of you need to be baptized. Some of you need to be saved. Come on, let it be today. Let it be today. Come on. Come on, don't push it back. Come on.